I wanted to focus a couple minutes to figure out a little bit of what is Adar all about. What's the essence of Adar? And perhaps to reveal a couple of secrets of what's going on behind the scenes. So you're all familiar, especially since Rabbi Gordon has mentioned it earlier in the year, that in Kabbalah, if you look in the Sefer Yetzirah, every one of the months is connected to one of the senses of the body. Oh yeah, probably so. The Sefer Yetzirah lists all the months, and it connects them with psukim to different one of the senses of the body: sight, hearing, actions. Adar, bechosh, is connected to tzchoik, to laughter. Similarly, in the Sefer Yetzirah, every single one of the months is connected to one of the animals. And Adar, appropriately, is connected to what?
The fish.
Hyena
also. Really?
Amongst animals, Adar is connected to the dag, connected to the fish. That's why if you take the constellations, right, Adar is Pisces, which is fish.
But not all the constellations are animals.
I know. But
that one works.
Similarly, also, every one of the months has a special ois. 12 months have, each month has an ois. Adar's ois is what? Kuf. Adar's ois is kuf.
Like a month.
Adar's ois is kuf. So now we have laughter, fish, and kuf. And just to make it...
Kuf monkey.
No, kuf, the letter kuf.
Oh.
Kuf.
And just to make it perfect, we're going to have a fourth one. If you look in the later day Svarim, the Megala Mukois, which was written by Nosson Nota Adler, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, the Megala Mukois, and also the Kedushas Levi, by Levi Yitzchok, Miberdichev, and similarly by the Shem Yishmuel, they point out that every single one of the months is connected to one of the Yud Beis Shvatim. It's convenient, we have 12 Shvatim, 12 months. Each one of the months is connected to one of the Shvatim. What Shevet does Adar signify? Yosef. Adar is all about Yosef. So Adar is all about Tzchoik. Adar is all about fish, all about the letter Kuf, and about the Shevet Yosef. And my question is, what is the common denominator amongst all four of these things? Why are they all connected? Why does Adar add up to all of these?
No Ayahara. That's good call.
So let's understand. Let's go in order. We're not going to get to Ayin Hara, but Ayin Hara does, it's a byproduct of everything.
It wasn't that good.
But let's start with, you have Tzchoik, the concept of laughter, fish, the letter Kuf, and Shevet Yosef. So B'Pashtus, let's go with Pashtus. We'll start with the fish. And we're going to start with the fish because it's in Torah, makes life easy. In Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, Perik Aleph Maisa Bereishis, Hosek Chav Beis, Vayivorech Oysom Elokim Leimor, Peru Urevu, Muluas Amayim Bayomim, Vayif Yoreh Ba'aretz. The first time the Torah mentions the bracha of Peru Urevu is by what? Is by fish. We're all learning Tzumas this year, right? A woman gets married, Besula Niknes B'yoyim Revi. Why? Because Birchas Dagim. Because the fish were the first one with the bracha of Peru Revu. We want to latch on to the bracha of Peru Revu when we get married. Why is it why is it that the fish were the first to be makabel the bracha puruvu? Why was it that the fish were the first creation that got the bracha puruvu? So Rashi, alatar, on the spot, Rashi explains that since fish are usually trapped and eaten, they need to have the bracha of puruvu. Says Rashi, "Avachayus utzuchol bracha." Guess what? All animals are trapped and eaten, so all animals need the bracha of puruvu. It says Rashi, since they're nachashim, the nachash comes from the animals, so Hashem didn't want to give a bracha to the animals. Therefore, they weren't included in the bracha, but fish got the bracha of puruvu. Also, that's the end of the pasuk. Va'oifi erabaretz. What does it mean, pruruvu? What's the double lashon pruruvu? So Rashi continues, pru lashon pri, asa perus, make fruit, have offspring. And ruvu is to do it multiple times. Don't do it once, do it many times. So fish, because they are going to be trapped, because they are going to be in situations of difficulty, they're going to be minimized, Hashem gave them a special bracha that there should be multiple fish, they should expand, they should become great, there should be many, many fish in the world in order to counteract the attack of human beings that are eating the fish. Similarly, Yosef HaTzadik is trapped in Mitzrayim. Yosef HaTzadik is brought down to Mitzrayim, he's trapped, he's in jail physically, he's physically unable to accomplish everything he wants and everything he desires. But specifically through his trapping, the Pasuk says that he calls his son Ephraim. Why? So Bereishis Mem Aleph, Es Shem Hashem Yikore Ephraim Ki Ephraiani Elokim Be'eretz Oni. That Hashem, what is Hifriani Elokim? What does it mean? That Hashem, Hifriani? So the Malbim says, what does it mean? Lohoiris ki Hifrehu Hashem. That Hashem made him great. He allowed him to expand. He allowed him to have offspring, despite the fact, says Rashi, or in light of the fact, but really despite the fact that he was Be'eretz Onio, the Malbim says, I'm sorry. That despite the fact that he was being trapped, despite the difficulties he's encountered, the difficulties along the journey, nonetheless, Yosef HaTzadik gives bracha to Hashem that I was able to have multiple offspring, not only Menashe, but also Ephraim. I was able to produce, to reproduce, and to create a future. Yes. The lesson being, Lefi Pashtus, the Tzara Shove between the Dag and Yosef, Lefi Pashtus, is that the constriction, the Yitzurim, the Tzara, causes the growth. A lesson that we see all the time in our daily challenges, in our daily life, that we embrace the challenge. A person can have a challenge that causes him many yisurim, many difficulties, but specifically because of those yisurim, it's not that they remove the difficulty, but that difficulty is a means, is a capability for that allows him to grow. And the Malbim says, and I quote, "Sha'oini gorem es galusoi." The difficulty caused his greatness. The difficulty caused Yosef's greatness. We see this all the time. We see this all the time in our daily lives and throughout our daily experience. That difficult experiences not only show what's really beneath the surface, but allow us to expand our horizons and become that much greater and that much beyond what we ever imagined we could do. A way physically a person grows is by breaking down his previous existence. Right? A muscle gets bigger when it breaks down.
and it grows back stronger. The Yisurim and the Tzar cause the person difficulty, but when a person overcomes that, he's that much greater, that much bigger. The Megalamukai says, Dvarim Stumim, their mamish, a closed book, it's very difficult to figure out. The Megalamukai says, Adar is a remez, Rosh Tevis. Where do we find Adar in the Torah? Where do we find Adar in the Torah? Look through the entire Torah, you won't find the word Adar. It says in Megalamukos, you missed it. Es dibosam ra. When the brothers brought back the Lashon Hara about Yosef to the father, to Yaakov, es dibosam ra reshi tevas Adar. What in the world is the parallel? What in the world is the connection between the Lashon Hara of the brothers and Adar? The Yisrael, according to what we're saying, is absolutely beautiful and poshut. What started the process of Yosef's constriction? What started the process of the difficulties, the tzaras, the Yisurim that lied ahead, was specifically the Dibosam Ra that they brought back to their father. That Lashon Hara was the beginning of the trap that eventually led to Yosef becoming that much greater. Eventually, for Yosef to grow and to become the Tzafnas Paneach HaMoshe B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. Specifically because of the Yisurim. Sha'oini Goram Gadusoi. And that's what Adar is all about. Adar is all about looking at our lives, and looking back at who we are, and embracing the challenges that we encounter. Whether that's a difficult situation we come from, a difficult medical issue we have, whether that's a financial difficulty we've encountered, or a social issue that's bothering us, or stam, it's shver to sit and learn. It's hard. It's hard. 1 hour, 2 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours. It's hard. But we embrace the challenge and realize, recognize, and understand sha'ayni garam gadusoy. That specifically through that challenge, through the Yisurim, through the difficulties, that's what's going to cause us to be that much greater, that much more profound, and that much bigger in the end. Rabbi Yashiv used to get walked home frequently after. Rabbi Yashiv used to give a shir. Let's give a little hadama. Rabbi Yashiv used to give a shir in Tiferes Bachurim. His father started a shir for Bachurim, young men in the 20s that went out to work, that weren't able to sit in yeshiva, weren't able to stay in yeshiva. And he started a Gemara shir in the Meir Sharim neighborhood, going back, we're talking about in the 1930s, 1920s. And he started to share for these Balabatim that they should have Shaychus, they should have some connection to Torah. And his father was a very charismatic person, a very loving, endearing person. They mamish loved him dearly. And Vyash's father attracted a small but very committed group of people and started a shul called Tiferes Bachurim. Tiferes Bachurim was the name of a quote-unquote club that existed throughout Europe before they came to Eretz Yisrael. Tiferes Bachurim were these groups of young men that got together, the pride and glory of the Bachurim, but not the ones that were sitting in yeshiva all day. They would get together at night for an hour, 45 minutes, and sit and learn Gemara, the Kvius, 7 days a week, every single day. In the Homel Arov, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yashiv's father noticed this was a necessity. So he starts the shir every night. It's a small group, 10, 12 people. And it took off. Eventually, when towards the end of the Hamel Rav's life, when Rabbi Yashiv's father was getting old, Rabbi Yashiv took over. He was young, in his 30s. And that was his shteller for the rest of his life. He was never a Rosh Yeshiva. He was never a Rosh Kailo. He was the Rav of the Balabatim in Meishar. The Shir, the Balabatim Shishir in Meishar. And after Shir, when he was in his 50s, so we're dealing with many years later, in the 1950s, to make it update everyone a little bit, right? When Eliyashiv was in his 50s, so there's a much stronger, not that much bigger, but a much stronger chevron used to come to the shir. And they used to walk him home from the shir. So originally, the people walking him home from the shir would talk to him. Eliyashiv didn't want to waste any time. So as he's walking home, they would talk to him about, this simcha going on in the family, and this great thing happening, and this, my business is doing well, ask advice. Ask Shilas, whatever it was. Towards the end of the 50s, when the Shir was getting, sons and grandchildren were starting to come to the Shir, it was getting much stronger into the 60s. So as Eliyashiv would walk home, they would start to challenge the Shir. They'd start to ask him kashas. And the biographer writes in Sefer HaShakton about Eliyashiv that as he's walking home with these people, the first person says, my daughter got engaged. Rabbi Yashiv would stop. It's a whole 8-minute walk. And turn to the Baal HaBos, Mazel Tov, they should be Zeich, the Mubayis, and then be strong. Walk a little further, and a guy asks, says something else. Rabbi Yashiv would answer. But when one of the Baal HaBatim challenged the Shir, when one of the Baal HaBatim had a real kasha, all of a sudden, Eliyashiv's face is smiled from ear to ear. All of a sudden, he gets so excited, not to defend his shtickle title, not to defend what he said, but to search for the emes. Because the challenge, the difficulty that he encountered, he realized, he recognized, he understood, that's what's going to lead to godliness. That's what's going to lead to the greatness. That's what's going to lead to the ultimate emes. And if he passed this, that's what Ad is all about. That the constriction, the difficulties, the surim and the tsar that we encounter, that causes the growth and development, and we have to embrace that challenge. But I want to take it a step deeper. I want to take it a step further to understand a little bit more of what's going on beneath the surface, what Ad is really all about. Let's go back to that Rashi. Rashi explaining Pru Ravu to the Birchas Dagim, the fish are blessed that they should be fruitful and multiply. Right? Be fruitful and multiply. It's a very good translation. And the kasha is obvious. It's repetitive. It's repetitive. If you're going to multiply, you got to be fruitful. You can't be multiplied without being fruitful. What is the bracha of Pru or Ravu? Just say Ravu. That should be enough. You hear? We have this throughout the Torah. Pru or Ravu. Pru or Ravu. Comes to Adam, we have a mitzvah. Pru or Ravu. That's cute. Why does the Torah have to say Pru or Ravu? It should just say the Lashon Ravu. We would know that there's also a mitzvah pru. To answer this, we have to understand what is pru. What does it mean to be fruitful? And a better understanding of the mitzvah pru. There's a Gemara in Brachos, Nunhei Mebeis. The Gemara discussing Hilchos Mikvayos. The Gemara says, talking about the Nahar Pras, colloquially translated as the Euphrates River, it's not exactly clear if that's true. And I'll prove to you what. So the Gemara says there's a shaila by the Nahar Pras that can you use the Nahar Pras as a mikvah? Why? Because says the Gemara, Rachos Nunhei Mebeis, that when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, like today, and there's a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael, the Nahar Pras overflows with rainwater. And says the Gemara, is that considered Mayim Zeichlin, that's water moved from one place to the other that you can no longer use for mikvah? Or not? So according to one day in the Gemara, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Shita, is that Nahar Pras you can't use for a mikvah. Shmuel says, why is it called Nahar Pras? Rameir. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Oimer Yuval Shmoy. That really Nahar Pras's name is Yuval. Shneimar Vayetzka Shus Vayoke Etz Shasula Mayim. Val Yuval Yishlach Shoyoshev. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Al Yuval, meaning on the river Yuval, that's where the tree sends out its roots. If it's called Yuval Lama Nikra Shmoy Pras, why is it called Pras? Shemeim of Porim Verabim. Because the waters are Porim Verabim. What does that mean? Misayel and Shmuel, this supports Shmuel's opinion, the Omer Shmuel, Nahara Mikipe Mizborach. That the Nahar Mikipe Mivorach. It's blessed from within itself. It's blessed from within itself. Ivan Latbianski, the Shishiva and Shiva of Great Washington, Mary Dikatam Chacham is Mazbir the Gemara. What does it mean, Mikipe Mivorik? The Pshat is that the river has a source of water from within itself. That Pras, it takes itself, internally becomes greater. It's not influenced from the outside, but it internally has a greatness to become greater from within, to become stronger, to become greater from itself, from Minei Uvei. The Yisoid of Peru is not to only be multiplied. It doesn't mean to take one thing and create two. It means take yourself and expand yourself many times over. Expand your horizons. A pre is a product of the tree, but it has some essence from the tree that goes into the pre. The Gemara calls a son brok kora da avua. It's the foot of the father. A child is the foot of the father. A foot is not a separate entity. It's the father himself expanding vita, further expanding his horizons. So the mitzvah is, Peru, expand yourself many times over. When it comes to the Shvatim, there's a famous Ramban in Devarim, the end of Devarim. The Ramban says, quoting Chazal, that there's a hakbada, that there are Yud Beis Shvatim. There are 12 Shvatim. There are never more than 12 Shvatim. You can only have Yud Beis Shvatim. Keneged the Yud Beis Mazalis. And it's impossible to have more. And that's why, says the Ramban, if you look through the Torah, the end of Parshas Vayichi, the end of Sefer Bereishis, Levi gets a bracha. So if Levi gets a bracha, so says the Torah over there, there's one Sheva called Yosef. And anytime Levi is excluded, like by the certain counts, and also by the end of Devarim by Birchus Moshe, where Levi doesn't get a bracha, so Mamela Ephraim and Menashe are included. One or the other, you can't have 13. There's a hakpada, we're very makpada, there are 12 shvatim. If that's the case, is Yosef one or two? But Yaakov gives a bracha to Yosef's children that Ephraim and Menashe you lead. That Ephraim, Keruvim v'Shimon Yuli, that Ephraim and Menashe are going to become Shvatim. But if they become Shvat, then we lost our count. We're no longer 12, we're 13. And that's not Shaykh. Why should Levi lose out just because Ephraim and Menashe gained? So the Ramban says the Pshat is that it's one which is two. It's an expansion of Yosef. They're all inclusive. Ephraim and Menashe are included in Sheva Yosef. It's one Sheva Yosef that can be expressed in two entities, that can be expressed externally in two parts. It's a Baruch Korah D'Avur. The expansion of Yosef into Ephraim and Menashe. We mentioned that Tzchayk is the Midah. Tzchayk, laughter, is the Midah of Chodesh Adar. What's Tzchayk all about? What does it mean to laugh? What's this concept of Tzchayk that we're discussing? Not only that, the Goyim, in his Peirush in Sefer Yetzirah, the Goyin has a Hesber. He explains this Lashon of the Sefer Yetzirah, and he just makes the problem that much greater. Says the Goyin, Tzchayk ba'adar. What is the Tzchayk in Adar? Mishta v'simcha la'yehudim. And the Pasuk in the Tehillim says, and the Pasuk in the Megillah says, Mishta v'simcha la'yehudim. That they had a party in happiness. V'chein, similarly, Agula ha'asido, the Agula b'alav ha'shishi, Sheboy Osir HaKadosh Baruch La'asoy Smoch La'Tzadiki. Similarly, Tzchayk is what? Mashiach Tzidkenu. The eventual redemption that will happen after 6,000 years, that Hashem is going to make a circle with the Tzadikim to dance. Smoch La'Tzadiki. Azoy Zot Begon. What is Tzchayk? Mishta V'Simcha La'Yehudim? And the Gula Hasida. Thank you very much. You clarified absolutely nothing. Simcha v'meshve and machal tzadikim. Wonderful. What's this all about? What is tzchayk? What exactly is this dynamic of tzchayk? What does it mean, tzchayk? And with this understanding of tzchayk, we're going to understand on a much deeper and profound level what Adar really is all about. How one becomes two. In what the dag is all about, much more beautiful way. The Tzadik HaKayin in Pritzadik quotes every single Rosh Chodesh. He used to make a tish for Rosh Chodesh, and he would darshan at the tish. Tzadik was a goyin adir, b'noyer, mamash, a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He had ideas shein kamol, quote psukim left and right, and chazals all over the place. A goyin adir, and the Tzadik. In one of his shtiklach on Rosh Chodesh Adar, if I'm not mistaken, there are like 19 of them. But in one of his shtiklach on Rosh Chodesh Adar, he's masbir what this concept of tzchayk is. He says, tzchayk is what causes laughter. What causes laughter is when you're expecting one outcome, and all of a sudden it switches and something else happens. When the expected outcome doesn't actually occur. You're expecting somebody to get locked up in jail, and he gets out. He runs away. You're expecting the rulers that they're going to win, and all of a sudden the lowly rebels who barely can have an army, they overcome. That's what creates, that's called tzchayk. Says with tzadik, but it's much greater than that. It says, not only laughter occurs when the unexpected occurs, but tzchayk is much more profound. Tzchayk is a laughter when you realize, when you understand and recognize that the yisurim themselves, the difficulty itself, was really good. That was the cause, that was the sibah, that's what brought about the eventual outcome. Look at the Purim story. We use a lashon in the Megillah, v'nafoichu. V'nafoichu. The Rishoyim, what we perceived as Rishus, Homan Arosha, was the reason, but specifically the cause to allow the Gadlus HaTzadikim. We recognize and realize that the evil became good. The evil was the cause, direct cause for the good. And therefore we appreciate the evil itself. We appreciate the Yisurim themselves because they turned around and allowed us to become great. He quotes the famous Gemara at the end of Makos. The very famous Gemara of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, Oilim liYerushalayim, they get the Harat Soifim, Karu Bigdeim, they ripped their garments, Kevishiyu laHarabayis, they saw Shu'al, they see a fox on Harabayis coming out of the Kotche HaKadoshim. Hitchilu hein boichim. They started to cry. Rabbi Akiva uses the Lashon Mitzachek. He would laugh. The Tzchoik. Omru lo yim ibnei ma'atum Mitzachek. Why are you laughing? Omru lehem ibnei ma'atum boichim. Omru lehem mokom shekosu bo v'azar korev yumas v'achshav shu'alim holchu bo v'lo nivche. How can it be? There's a fox running in the Kotche HaKadoshim where any non-Kohen would go. He would die and we're not going to cry? That's specifically the reason that I'm laughing. V'chsiv ha'idu li ha'idim ne'emonim es uriah ha'kohen v'zachariah ben yivarchayo ki ma'a inin uriah et zachariah. Why does the Gemara, why does the Novi Yishayo connect uriah to zachariah? Uriah b'bingdash rishin zachariah b'mikdash shein. Because the Torah said you're never going to get to the Nevuah of Zechariah until Uriah happened. You're never going to get to Abayis Sheni until there's a destruction of Abayis Rishon. Ksev l'chein b'glalchem tzion sodet techovesh will be destroyed. And by Zechariah or Yeshuvu Zekeinu Zekeinu Zechoyim Zushalayim. Until we had the Nevuah of Uriah, we're not going to get to the Nevuah of Zechariah. That the schoik, and on that the Chacham said, Akiva nicham tonu. That not only did you give us a nechama for one time, for this occurrence in history, but you give us a nechama for all of history, says the Marshal. Your Yisoy, the nechama, is not only a once in history event, but that nechama will last forever. To realize and recognize that the Golos is the tzibah for the Geula. That the Golos is specifically not only what causes us to grow. It doesn't help and assist the growth, but it's still bad. The Golos itself is beneficial. It's embracing the difficulties and recognizing that they're not difficult. That is the mechanism and means for growth itself. And says Reb Tzadik, that's the nafoich. That's what tzchoik is all about. Schoik is understanding, recognizing, realizing my challenges aren't challenges. My challenges aren't there to knock me down and make it difficult, but I'm going to overcome. It's to recognize the challenge is specifically a benefit for me. It's to embrace the challenge. It's to have the smile of Reb Yashiv when he gets a kasha. Because he realizes I need that kasha to get the teretz. If I never got the kasha, I'm never going to get the emes. The pasuk says, "Oz yimolus chek pino yushenenu rina." As we all know in Tehillim, "Oz yimolus." Then, b'soif yomav, at the end of days, yimolus chek pino. Then we will have schoik. You know, Ad kidekach. The Gemara says you're not allowed to have ein schoik b'olam hazeh. That in the current reality, we don't have any schoik. What does it mean we're going to have schoik at the end of days? And Rav Dessler and Chelik Gimel, Michtam Eliyahu, quotes from the Sabbah Mikkel. Rav Dessler quotes from the Sabbah Mikkel, "Kishizgala Mashiach tzidkeinu b'mheicha b'yameinu," when Mashiach will reveal at the end of the days, "Yeah, kol borer Umuvanim afreya. Everything will be clear and understood retroactively. She'az, then yireh shekol yisuri v'seva l'agolos v'hoyu ela dimyoin v'choloim mamish. Then we'll realize that all the difficulties we encountered in Golos, all of the pains that we've encountered throughout the Golos, were all but just a dream. They were all an actual, real dream. Shirak b'mabat chitzoini ninmu k'rois v'tzoros, because only from an external perspective were they actually evil and bad. However, b'mabat p'nimi, but from, if you get the internal, you get beneath the surface, nireh shayu ach toiva u'bracha, they were actually good. To connect it all back, says Rav Dessler, when Yosef HaTzadik said, "Ani Yosef," the brothers come to Yosef and they don't understand what's going on. He gives them food, he returns their money. Bring down Binyamin, they bring down Binyamin. He's all happy, great, Binyamin's here. They get their food back, return the money. And now he hides his gvia, he hides his kiddush cup in their food. Menashe comes running, chases them back and forth and back and forth. They don't know what's going on. We didn't take it, we didn't steal it, right? They have no idea what's happening. And all of a sudden, Yosef says, "Ani Yosef, hesir mehem bevas achas kol akushis." The revelation of Ani Yosef answered everything. This is a key among all the nevuas that Yosef had. All the questions were gone. Everything was clear, was crystal clear. Says the Alter Mikelem, that's also Kol Shekein Kishenakir Lo Asid Lavoi, when we recognize Ani Hashem Bisgaluso Yeshua, when he reveals the salvation at the end of days of Mashiach Sidkenu Yesuro Me'aleinu Kol Kushyus HaGolos, all the questions will be answered. Then we'll be able to understand Kol Ma Dov Rachmano L'Tav Ovid, which currently we don't have an understanding of. People ask why the Holocaust, why anti-Semitism, why this, why that, why do good things happen to bad people, why do bad things happen to good people? Great questions. They're great questions. They're questions that don't have easy answers. But says the Alter Mikelem, with the one answer of Ani Hashem, B'Sof Yom, at the end of the day when Hashem answers Ani Hashem, we'll be able to look back, we'll be able to recognize, we'll be able to understand the Kol Ma'ad Ovid Rachmano L'Tav Ovid. Why was this for my benefit? Not only is it difficult now, but it's really good for me. It's that spinach that Popeye had to eat to become strong. It tasted gross, but it made him big. But if he knew it was going to make him big, it wouldn't taste gross. He'd embrace the challenge. He'd appreciate what it is. The Gemara Megillah, the Gemara Megillah says that Haman was happy when he found out that the Hippo poor Hu Adoral lands on Chodesh Adar. Haman's all happy. It's great. Adar is the best month. It's the worst month for my Yiddish kinder. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu died. Zayin Adar next week. Yotzer Moshe Rabbeinu. If Moshe Rabbeinu died, then it's Histalkus to the removal of the Ha'ara from Har Sinai. That wonderful connection that we had with Hashem, that incredible revelation we had at Har Sinai, is going to be removed. Because Moshe died, that's when we lost it. It was gone. And now we're going to be living without, from that time and on, from Adar and on, we're living without that Haris Panim. We're living without that revelation. We're living without that connection of from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Har Sinai, that Moshe represented, that Moshe brought down to the world. And therefore, Haman's all excited, Hippo, they're not going to have that connection. Hashem's not going to be there to save us anymore. Says the Gemara, but Haman didn't know that in Adar Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And therefore? So you know, the day he's born, dies, comes out, full years, therefore he's a tzaddik. Wonderful. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? So Moshe Shapiro is masbir, beautiful idea. What does it mean that Moshe died? Moshe was born. Moshe being born isn't talking about Moshe being born 120 years before. That Moshe Rabbeinu's death itself was a birth. It was a birth of a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even without the hardest part of him in front of us. It was a birth that we're going to be connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's really with us in the Golos. When we don't have our Sinai there. When Moshe's not breathing down our backs. It's a Leida Chadosh, it's a new birth. A rebirth. A rebirth of Moshe, but not in a way that we're connected to Hashem because we see him upon him Adab Rabboi. It's a rebirth, a connection to Hashem between Hester upon him. When things aren't clear, when things aren't obvious. When there are difficulties happening in the world, difficulties happening in our own lives. When we can't sit down in front of a Gemara for 10 hours, we don't feel that connection. We don't feel it. The Leida Chadosh that occurs at that time after Moshe dies is that now Hashem's with us even then. Imcha Anoichi B'Tzar. I'm with you in your difficulties as well. There's a famous Yisoy from the Chassidim. Mimkoim Chamakenu Seifia. The Malachim pray at Hashem. Ayei Mikoim Kvoidoi. What's Ayei Mikoim Kvoidoi? Ayei mekoyim kvoidoi, how wondrous where I find you. I find you, Hashem, even in the most despicable, disgusting, degrading places in the world. Even there, I find Hashem. Because I realize and I recognize that the yisurim and the tzaras and the pains and difficulties that I've had in my life are really a fig leaf. They're really there for me to become greater and bigger. They're really there as the vitamins, as the means, as the mechanism for me to grow. And therefore I embrace and I love that challenge, that difficulty. It's a famous story. Very other story. Many years ago, I was at a Purim Suda. One of my Rebbeim. All of a sudden, this man walks in. He looked like Merlin, but perfect. I mean, long white beard. He had a wizard hat on with the big, you know, pom-pom on top. Perfect hat. A long, flowing coat. It was purple with golden trim. Mamisha, if you had to imagine Merlin, that was Merlin. Mamisha, perfect Merlin. And a couple bachrim were there. And were looking like, who in the world is this guy? Like, what's going on? Like, Barish popped out of the movies or something. Like, who is this dude? And after he left, we turned to our Rebbe, who was a little bit out of the yard at that point, and we said, who is this guy? Like, what just happened here? And the man comes in, and he's zooking tairas left and right, giving out brachas, and I don't know what was going on there. Yeah, Bucky Bashas, a poiskim, no problem. Who is this? My Rebbe turns to us and he said, his name is Shlomo Brill. Not related. His name is Shlomo Brill. Who's Reb Shlomo Brill? Reb Shlomo Brill grew up in Brooklyn. He went to Chaim Berlin as a young bacher. And at 16 years old, he had a bunch of cash. And things weren't adding up so well. Things weren't making so much sense. He wasn't so tzufrieden in yeshiva. It was time for him to move on, he thought. His parents weren't so happy. So he ran away. Got involved in the wrong crowd. It's usually what happens. Got connected to the wrong people. Made it to Eretz Yisrael. One kibbutz, and it was on a moshav. The one thing he decided that no matter where he was, what he was going to do, no Shabbos, no Kashrus, but I'm going to always wear tzitzis. Tzitzis he'll wear. Always wear tzitzis. That was his thing. He didn't have a kippah, but he had his tzitzis. Shlomo Brill one day, after hanging out all night with his friends in Crack Square, involved in not such a nice thing. So Shlomo Brill recognizes. He wakes up one morning by the street cleaners hitting him a little bit with the broom. Sees where he is, a little not sure of what he's doing there, what's going on. Still not back with himself 100%. And he wakes up on the street in Crack Square holding his tzitzis. Holding his tzitzis by his side with his tank top shirt and shorts. No kippah. He opens up his eyes and he looks around and he says, "This is Hevel Havolim, what is this all about? This can't be. It's not Shaykh." And he's holding his tzitzis and he says, "There's got to be a way to return. There's got to be something more. There's got to be something better. There's got to be something greater." And Shlomo Brill went back to yeshiva, became a big Talmud Chacham. Shlomo Brill said, "It was my tzitzis that saved me. My tzitzis helped me recognize that no matter where I am, I bring my tzitzis with me in the bathroom. We all do. It's mutter. Your tzitzis are with you always. My tzitzis helped me recognize that no matter how bad I am, how far I've fallen, how disgusting it was to be lying on the streets with the street cleaner poking me with a broom. It helped me recognize that Hashem is with me." And that was the impetus. That was the sibah that I became great. The Goyim, and with this we'll end. Tie it all up together. The Goyim in Shulchan Aruch, on the mitzvah of Ad Lo Yodo Ben Arar Homo LeBaruch Mordechai, the Vilna Goyim adds in a few words. The person supposed to drink Ad Lo Yodo Ben Arar Nekomas Mordechai Ad Yor Nekomas Haman Ubarach Gedulas Mordechai. That a person is supposed to get shikr to the degree that he doesn't know the distinction between revenge against Haman and bracha in blessing Mordechai. And Rav Moshe Shapira said the pshat is obvious. Baruch gedulas Mordechai, the greatness of Mordechai. You're only greater than somebody else. You can only be greater when there's somebody less than that. It's a comparative reality. Somebody is greater than somebody else. But when it's a level playing field, when everyone's equal, there's nothing greater and nothing worse. Because we have to reach a level on Purim that we realize and recognize that Haman's not Arur and Mordechai is not Baruch. That every situation we're in, every circumstance handed to us is all equal from HaKadosh Baruch. The difficulties, the tzar and the yisurim are just as important and just as connected to HaKadosh Baruch as those times when we feel like we're flying on cloud nine and we're mamash have shivis Hashem l'neg v'sam no matter what. It's a level playing field. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Komad of the Rachman l'taf of it. That's why when it comes to Adar, Yosef HaTzadik, despite, but not despite, in light of the fact that he was Ba'oini, in light of the fact that he was Mitzrayim, he became great. That was the means, that was the mechanism to propel him to greatness. And the dag is pru revu. That adar is all about expanding your horizons, becoming greater. Embracing your challenges and pru, first expanding and then doing it multiple times. And it's all about tzchoik. It's laughter. But the laughter that happens when we recognize and realize that everything is me'es Hashem and we always have that connection. And it's the letter kuf. Because the letter kuf, says the Sefer Yetzira, represents Kedusha. It's to understand that even the ra, that even the difficulty, is really kaddish. Because it's all chalmada avrachmana, the tav avid, is all me'es Hashem. We should all be zeiche to recognize, to realize, and to embrace our challenges, to use it l'tav, to have that ultimate connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what our circumstances, and to use it to propel us to the real godless and greatness.